What if E.T. was a genocidal warlord and the little kid, Elliot, was an absolutely narcissistic chaos goblin?
Psycho Gorman.
You're right. It's Psycho Gorman! I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast! How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm not great, but we move. How are you?
I feel awful for this, but I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm normally miserable as fuck this time of year because of the weather. It's dark all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any sunlight.
All very true, and I'm feeling the effect of all of them.
So this year, I decided to try and do something about it. Started taking vitamin D and vitamin K. Fixes a lot of stuff.
What are we getting into this week, bud?
Okay, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to get into the first watches of Psycho Gorman. How did we find this film?
We're going to get into, where does Psycho Gorman come from? Is he allowed?
He is.
Does he have a visa?
He doesn't need one, because if anything, we need the visa.
Ooh, we'll get into interesting.
We'll get into it. I've got a brand new seggy for
new
us.
New segment?
Blink and you'll miss it.
Our orange grows all the time.
There you go.
And we're going to figure out what makes this a rare movie universe. I have no idea what that means.
It's not that deep, to be honest. Okay, it's just It's a fun thought that I've had, and I figure we could go on a little trip.
But you know what will be deep?
What's it really mean?
What does it really
What's
mean?
What's it really mean? We're going to be getting into what it really means
What's
on this.
What's it really mean?
So this week, obviously, I've bought this film lovingly from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
We're going to do a breakdown.
This is for those people who haven't seen the film and aren't planning to, because it's
none of
spoiler riddled. Takes 2 minutes, but it's 2 minutes that will spoil the film if you've not seen it. So, shall I kick us off?
Yeah, but first, if you've not seen this film, go and fucking watch it, because holy shit, you're missing out. You're missing out.
It's
for the low price of $12.99 on Prime, you can buy it. You don't want to rent it because you're going to be watching it again in a week. 13 quid, that's it.
Well, before,
and I know it was payday recently.
You might not. Look, you're going to need this episode to figure out what to think and feel about it. That's the whole point of why we do what we
you
do.
You love it.
To tell people what they think about films.
You love it.
I'm going to start spoiling it now.
Okay.
With Act 1.
Yeah.
Who let the murder guard out? Who?
Thank you.
Just a quick note there.
Yeah.
You put the stage instruction after the dialogue.
Yeah.
Took me a while.
Yeah, no, I felt that you read it halfway through, because when you started and it wasn't singing, sing it like the dog song, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a bit upset. But then you kicked in halfway through.
Because I read the second sentence, yeah.
Yeah, it's mad that you can be
two chaotic siblings dig a giant hole in their backyard because big brother Luke lost a game of crazy ball and now has to dig his own grave and accidentally resurrect the universe's most dangerous warlord. A hunky, skeletal doom machine wrapped in latex and attitude. That's my nickname at uni.
You smashed this.
Little Sister Mimi, a tiny human tyrant in glitter shorts, wins the magical gem of Peraxidike that lets her boss her new monster pet around like he's an intergalactic Roomba with a body count.
Yes.
Yes. While Psycho Gorman plots galactic domination and monologues like he's auditioning for every 80s metal action sci-fi ever, Mimi forces him into her bullshit. Dress up, backyard games, and emotional vulnerability. Ooh. Think E.T. if E.T. hated everyone and the kid was somehow worse.
Right?
Shit film.
Act 2, mint film. Act 2, feelings, family, and gratuitous blood spray.
Great man name.
The Council of Gygax takes notice that its favorite genocidal nightmare has gone missing, so a parade of Power Rangers-esque alien villains show up to either reclaim or kill him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Psycho Gorman ends up bonding with the world's most dysfunctional family, mostly because he's too exhausted by Mimi's nonstop chaos to continue being pure evil.
Yeah.
Luke, the only sane character, is torn between cosmic morality and not wanting his sister to throw a temper tantrum that destroys the entire world.
We've been there.
Recently. Battles break out, monsters explode like gore-filled pinatas, and Psycho Gorman continues to insist he's evil, even as he clearly starts to care just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's kind of like a heavily tattooed biker dad trying to pretend he doesn't love his dumb kid's school play.
Do they do that? I don't think any of them do that. I think they're like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
I will punch another child if they so much as upset you.
Honestly, my nephew Keen, I think he was a tree 1 year in Nativity. I went twice. It was
right,
mint.
Right.
So good.
Act 3, galaxy-sized therapy session.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me, that's something we both need. Everything escalates into a giant showdown that feels like a fever dream made of rubber suits, screaming, and childhood trauma. That sounds like my Saturdays. Mimi tries to control the situation like she's queen of the universe. Luke finally stands up for himself.
Yeah, buddy.
And Psycho Gorman battles his former cosmic enslaver with all the subtlety of a sledgehammer made of hate.
Take that for a metaphor.
That metaphor is very clever because it lacks the same subtlety.
As a sledgehammer made of hate.
Yeah.
Suck my beans, Shakespeare. Fucking Benny Two-Ball is on the scene.
Shakespeare's been real quiet since we started this show, is all I'm saying.
Because he got fucking railed by Benny Two-Bean.
Why do I do this show with you? Because I love you. In the end, PG decides not to annihilate his newfound family, partly because he's grown a soul and now understands love.
Yeah.
Partly because he's just too tired to deal with the bullshit anymore. The family reconciles, kinda. And Psycho Gorman strolls off into the sunset to, inverted commas, peacefully destroy the whole planet.
Yeah.
A wholesome ending.
Isn't it?
Or is it? Let's get into it.
Shall we just now get into it?
Let's just now get
into
the show.
We'll just now get into it.
And in order to do that...
I thought you were beatboxing and I was like, do I need to rap?
Let's just now get into it with this really smooth segue.
Psycho Gorman, buddy.
Psycho Gorman, your favorite film of all time.
I'd say it's in my top five of all time. Has to be. But we're on the Kostansky train.
We are.
This is Stephen Kostansky, who is a sort of makeup artist, a creature design artist. Mm-hmm. He's worked on many, many big films. Super fucking incredible guy. The first film of his that we covered was The Void. Because I feel like that was a serious step in his career. Where they stepped away from horror comedy and sort of over-the-top gore and goofiness, and they wanted to tell a sincere, genuinely sort of Lovecraftian horror story, which I feel like they fucking achieved massively.
They did. I mean, again, with limitations, but it wore them on their sleeve, and it was lovely. This 100%. Is a different beast.
It is and it isn't.
Yeah.
It is and it isn't.
That's a statement that's always true.
Yeah. Yeah, two things can be true.
Yeah.
It is a new movie.
Yep.
And it is a different direction, and it's back on the train that I feel like everyone's more comfortable on, which is sort of like a goofy horror comedy over the top.
This is the first one of his I watched. The Void was interesting because it wasn't this, and this is what I knew of Kostansky.
Do you see why the trilogy is going this way? Wait until we get to fucking the third Kostansky movie.
Right.
Frankie Freako.
I think that might be a step too far because it's puppets.
It's going to be.
And I cannot stand puppets.
I fucking hate puppet movies too. I tried to watch Happy Time Murders the other day. Would rather pull my own teeth out of my arsehole.
That's an awful puppet movie.
It's terrible.
Good puppet movies. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Can't stand it.
Fuck off.
Can't stand it.
Fuck off.
It's fine.
That's Christmas ruined then.
It's fine.
What?
Don't blame me for ruining Christmas. You've had Christmas on November 29th. That's fucking ruined Christmas.
That's ruined
your
my
shitty
day.
Tacos.
Don't talk about the tacos. Don't bring them into it. God awful. Actually a hate crime. Actually a racism.
Is this why you didn't bring it up in the How It Is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever eaten something that tastes like racism?
Yeah.
Your dating history.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's elements. Two things can be true. Two things can be true. That's fine.
How did you find this film? Because you brought it to me lovingly.
I did.
And I had all my defenses up.
You did.
This was a couple of years back, and I was like, for fuck's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got 20 minutes in, and I was like, I knew this would be shit. And then I got half an hour in, and I was like, oh. And then I got 40 minutes in, and I was like, well, this is the best thing that's ever existed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kostansky.
There's a couple of things in this film that are really great at first, until you realize that they're not grating, they are just great.
Yeah.
The little girl especially.
That's a good way to fucking put it. Yeah, so I really struggle with kid actors.
Yeah.
But this is like turned it all on its head. We'll get to that.
How did you find it?
I found this movie. This movie came out in 2021. So the world is in lockdown. So everyone was talking about this. Everyone was being sort of like, there's a new movie that's kind of like a 1980s nostalgic kids movie for adults. And I was like, that sounds either the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen or is going to be insane. And I did my Shudder free trial through Psycho Gorman on. During a lockdown, everyone had been for their marathon walks because apparently the second that you don't go to work, everyone's walking everywhere.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's called when you don't have to earn the right to exist, you get to choose what to do with it. And we all said, let's go outside.
I think that, but also there was nothing else to do. So everyone was like, I'm really into walking now. Yeah. I'm really into walking and streaming.
And making bread.
Everyone made bread.
Yeah.
But do you know how much banana bread my neighbours were like passing out to each other? Horrendous. Horrendous. Absolutely foul stuff.
Spotless arses, though.
Spotless arses?
Everyone had toilet paper.
Interesting. Yeah.
By the mountain.
Yeah.
You weren't shitting any more than you were normally.
I mean, some people were. I was eating a lot more.
We're in lockdown. It's just eating takeaway every day.
That's it.
I've got money from the government. I'm spending it all on a Chinese.
I mean, you say that. It's exactly what I did. I went out every Thursday. I was getting a bit larger every week. Every Thursday, I was like half a stone heavier, clacking my pans together.
This is why I think socialism is an economically sound strategy.
Because
the one thing you can trust rich people to do if they get money is save it.
And not
or possibly
it.
Try and go to Mars.
Yeah.
You give poor people like us money, we'll have wasted that by the end of the week. How many copies of Psycho Gorman do you own? Six versions of the film.
Yeah.
Two versions of the soundtrack.
Yeah. And then also the Hunky Boy. I've got an A3 poster of the magazine page.
There we go.
I've got two sets of the action figures of Pandora and
So you've got Psycho a triple Gorman. Figure value of Psycho Gorman stuff. Socialism's the way to go. Give money to poor people. Watch your economy flourish.
Watch Stephen Kostansky flourish.
Right. If you want to fund independent film, don't give it to the filmmaker. Give it to the fans.
Yeah, 100%.
And just watch them buy shit.
Let Plastic Meatball make VHS copies of your movie and then flood the internet with cheap shit plastic and I will buy all of it.
Yeah.
I will buy all of it. So I found this film during COVID. Watched it like 4 or 5 times. Because I was showing anyone and everyone that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that whole phase when everyone was in lockdown and you'd phone one of your mates and be sort of like, do you want to watch a movie together?
Yes,
so you jump onto like Discord or something.
I still do that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And since then, it has only grown in popularity within my life.
Right.
As I've just mentioned, my weird little media collection around Psycho Gorman. I'll still buy stuff that's Psycho Gorman if I can get my hands on it.
Yes.
But it's such a scarcity. Like the Honky Boy limited edition stuff. It comes with like trading cards and all this stuff. That's $160 Canadian dollars.
Gotcha.
If I ever see another one come up, I will 1,000% put $160 Canadian dollars back into eBay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
of course.
It'll be great. And the second it's released on VHS, just fucking send me the link. Do you know what I mean? I don't even care price. It's fine. It's done. It's done. So what were your initial thoughts watching this? When you found it, were you like, you've said you were like, you were grated on you a bit and then you sort of got into the swing of it.
Yeah, so it took me a while to understand its outlook.
Okay.
When a film is a satire or when a film is a loving tribute, it takes a while to figure out how much of its tongue is in its cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much of it is sincere.
Yeah.
The child actress who plays the little girl
is
objectively doing some terrible acting in this film. What I'm actually watching is a genius actress.
Yes.
Playing a little girl.
Yeah.
Who's bad at acting. It took me 20 minutes or so to realize that.
But she kind of plays like a female misogynist. She takes on the role of like the toxic man. She's like a cisogynist.
She's,
you know what I mean?
She's very good at...
That one flew under the radar.
No.
I'll workshop it. Come back around to me.
Yeah, maybe try again in a bit.
Come back around to me.
She's very good at playing a little girl who's been watching the wrong age of television.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And is trying to be a grown-up.
She sort of emulates
through
her
what
dad.
She's seen, right?
You know what I mean?
Through
Greg.
What she's seen in her in her life,
which is great. But when she's sort of she's standing in front of Alistair and she's like, "You are looking pretty cute today. Why don't you give us a spin, pretty boy?"
So,
and I'm like, "Jesus Christ,
right,
man.
Right." And so when you go, "Oh, is this sincere dialogue?" And then you go, "Oh no, it's cleverer than that."
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, of course.
As the film wears on, though, what it becomes is this really carefully judged, wonderfully incisive commentary on filmmaking.
Yeah.
Scripts,
the
way we present different concepts.
Yeah.
It's difficult to deny how fun this film is.
That is where Psycho Gorman and Stephen Kostansky in particular shines, because he makes films from a filmmaker's perspective, but you can tell that the filmmaker absolutely adores his craft, making his craft.
Oh, absolutely.
Contributing what he contributes to the world. And it's this. There's nothing but sincerity. There's nothing but love and care. And then there is also this little glimmer of shithousery where he's like, yeah, I could just do that. Or, hear me out now, why don't we take it in a wildly different direction and then snap back to the original position? And it's like this full comedic whiplash thing There's tons of like dumb little jokes in this that I didn't realize are little jokes until the second or third watch through.
There's some jokes that don't even land until, well, I was going to say till the end of the film, but yeah, you're right. Second or third watch through.
Yeah.
Her mate, well, her little boy crush, Alistair. Gets turned into a sort of sentient crawling brain
with tentacles
the size of a small doghouse.
Yeah,
and you sort of go, no one acknowledges it.
No, no one ever does,
and no one ever deals with it. And you're like, oh, okay, this is. And then what's fantastic about it is it kind of, whilst being funny in itself that no one acknowledges it, it's also poking fun at film plot holes or films that are poorly written by being intentionally kind of poorly written, doing the wrong thing. But doing it for the right reason. 100%. And being like, some films just don't tie up loose ends, do they?
Also, this person's a brain now.
Right.
My best friend is a brain now.
Right.
We're going to struggle to play Nintendo 64 together. Like, this is...
And he just wants to play some vids.
That's all it is, mate. He just wants to play some vids. But there's tons of, like, visual gags where Psycho Gorman will knock something over.
Yeah.
And it rolls off into the distance, and he's in the middle of, a poignant sentence, and he'll slam something, and then it just rolls for an ungodly amount of time. It's only, 3 or 4 seconds,
yeah.
But it feels like an eternity,
yeah.
And then it picks back up straight away. So you get this sort of, subversion of, cheap slapstick stuff.
Yeah.
And then it fucking whips you straight back around to the original starting point of just deep monologue from a cartoonish 80s villain.
Simple things. I mean? When Psycho Gorman is injured, and he needs to summon the dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and the dad,
he
summons a sort of spirit,
yeah,
that he can teleport across the world to shout instructions to the dad.
Yeah,
you must come find me. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and then the spirit dissipates, and the dad's like, "You didn't? I don't have no idea where you are." And instantly, the spirit rematerializes and shouts more instructions, and that goes back and forth.
Yeah,
more times than should be funny, but it's funnier every time.
It's because it's so deafeningly loud,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Even though Greg is asking for instructions, the second that Gorman's head pops up in the ether and starts screaming at him, he can't help but scream because it's so traumatic to his human brain. Do you know what I mean? It's incredible. Yeah. But this whole thing, so Psycho Gorman came into being from just after Kostanski finished working on Leprechaun Returns in 2018.
Okay. I'm going to shock you now.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen that one. Could
we'll
you give me a quick... I'm guessing it's Batman Returns.
Kind of.
But Leprechaun.
Have you seen Leprechaun?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to shock you now.
Sure.
No, I haven't seen Leprechaun.
Okay. It's Jennifer Aniston's one of her first feature film roles.
That's not much to recommend it.
I mean, you've seen Doom Asylum, and that was one of the Sex and the Cities.
I saw Doom Asylum because it was recommended by you.
You recommended it to me?
No, it was a listener.
Oh, okay.
The listener who recommended
it. Okay. So
back in the early days of the podcast, before we realized that taking listener recommendations was a nightmarish idea.
We'll get to Leprechaun because it's objectively a fantastic franchise.
Is it?
It goes on for a long time.
The only thing I know about Leprechaun is one reference in Wayne's World.
Yeah, it's pretty much that.
Okay.
Yeah, just picture that.
Okay.
For 7 movies.
It's also got a lot to live up to because I'm more of a Troll franchise guy. Troll 1, Troll 2, very dear to me. Leprechauns, trolls, goblins,
that's
all the same wheelhouse.
That's not a franchise.
How dare you?
Troll 2's got fuck all to do with Troll.
I know.
But that's not a franchise then.
How dare you?
It's an unofficial sequel that exists in a different universe.
I'm saying that they're all canon.
Okay. So anyway, Kostanski finishes working on Leprechaun Returns in 2018.
Yep.
So back home in Toronto, Kostanski's kicking it up at home. He's just sitting back, relaxing, watching some movies when he comes up with the idea of an evil alien warlord monster that befriends two kids and goes on adventures, right?
Yeah.
He bangs up a treatment for it. He runs the idea past a local financier.
A financier. Is that a French pastry?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like a croissant, but full of coins.
Full of coins. It's really difficult to swallow and chew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a joke there. I'm big enough to not make it, but we'll move on.
I've heard different.
We'll move on. Morally, I'm big enough to make it.
Okay.
Yeah, the internet's all true. So he came up with this idea, ran it past it's a friend of a friend, and essentially the friend of a friend was like, I want to finance a movie.
Yeah.
I really like your friend's movies.
One of those
movies.
Classic ones where it's like, I just happen to know somebody who,
So this all happens. It got greenlit immediately, which is incredible. So Kostanski, when he made The Void, it was a different kettle of fish because they were trying to be a serious thing with it. So they had to do lots of sort of like, the process was way longer. Whereas Psycho Gorman, someone was like, sorry, what was that? Big evil alien befriends two kids, plays drums, and then goes on a kill. It's signed. Done.
Perfect. Yeah.
Do what you want. See you later. So this is where Kostansky got the idea. Just watch old movies and this, that, and the other. The budget of this film that was given to him, I'm going to give it you in Canadian dollars, but where do you think it sits at? Like, if you had to guess, where do you think it sits
at? Okay, so I can't do Canadian dollars.
Just US dollars is fine.
I'm a straight man, so...
We
I'm
have
gonna do it in
a fair few Canadian listeners.
Yeah.
Everyone email immediately and tell Rob.
But in the UK,
right.
Canadian dollars used exclusively by homosexuals. I thought you knew this.
I bought... Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Drax.
It tracks.
Drax, it's fine.
Right? Thank you. You're looking at me like I'm the mad one here.
Continue with the horrendously.
Someone doesn't have any gay friends. I'm gonna say this was made for, when was this made?
2021.
I'm gonna say this was made for 10 mil.
Okay. So the budget that he was given was 850,000 Canadian dollars.
Ooh.
650,000 US dollars.
Okay.
That's the entire film budget.
He's done very well.
How much do you think of that budget was spent on creature effects?
I'm going to say 95% of it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because look at it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the film.
Yeah.
I've seen the effects.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to do those for less than a mil.
Yeah, 100%.
A mil is not available.
No, it's not. So, 650 grand is.
Yeah. So I'm going to say 625 grand was spent on the creature effects.
50,000 Canadian dollars.
Jesus Christ.
So like... less than that in US dollars was spent on special effects. It was proper grassroots movement.
Mm-hmm.
There was essentially three of them. The financier turned into basically a special effects artist.
Amazing.
Kostansky needed an extra pair of hands and was like, bud.
It's your money.
You know,
so.
you know you like my films.
Yeah.
Do you want to help us make a monster? Grab the bucket of goop.
Right. If you want to see a profit, get painting.
Yeah. You know that? Remember that 850,000? Should we get it back?
Yeah.
Sick. Put on an apron.
Exactly.
So it was Stephen Kostansky, his assistant, and a...
French pastry.
Producer. A French pastry full of coins. Essentially did most of it. And they did about $500,000 worth of puppetry and latex and monster effects for 50 grand because they were so resourceful and were literally grabbing bits of garbage and turning it into stuff that they could use for the movie, which is incredible. So this is what they're working with. So 50 grand on the creature budget.
That is insane.
And then Kostansky, in his own words here, he was just sort of like, I hope the people have fun with it, because that's all I wanted to do. It's to make a fun movie that I felt was missing from our cinematic catalog right now. We're in a pretty cynical age of movies and TV, and I just wanted to make something where you would have a smile on your face. It's a nice change of pace.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Which is exactly what he set out to
do. Absolutely
is. He fucking nails it so hard. I mean, how rare is it these days that you get like a goofy, campy B-movie that hits all of the nostalgia buttons, come out, and then fucking this arrives.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, every goofy horror comedy creature feature nerd in their fucking basements, I don't know where everyone else lives, but...
But I live in one.
But so. I live in a basement, that's fine. They all just fucking come together and like, excuse me,
this,
where have you been?
I always say this film is the key that helped me unlock a good chunk of enjoying your style of film.
Yes.
Because...
thank you.
If you've not seen a film like Psycho Gorman, or you've not grown up with a history of B-movie, and you're used to the price of admission to being a filmmaker, being a decent budget, and caring if something falls short...
yeah.
When something is visibly a ropey bit of puppetry or something is visibly a cheap shot, you're like, fuck you. I'm giving you the same amount of time that I would give Christopher Nolan. So why are you shortchanging me here?
Yeah.
It was very difficult to see the charm.
Yeah.
This film, I watched it, loved it, fell head over heels in love, and it made other films that you loved more
make a
lovable.
Bit more sense, right?
Make a bit more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I understand now.
Right.
I was the problem. I was approaching it thinking that film had to be one thing. It's a little bit like, it feels a little bit like a jazz listener going to a punk concert.
Yeah.
And just being like, this is shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's three fucking chords.
Yeah.
And everything on stage costs £12.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't get this. And then eventually someone comes along and you're like, oh, okay,
this is
a way in.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of start to metastasize through the genre.
Yeah, 100%.
And go, oh, this is, okay, I get that now. This is very much that kind of first key for me.
Yeah, 100%.
Which opened the door. He's done fantastically well with it.
It's so good. He was asked in an interview, like, where the inspiration came from and, like, what got him on the fucking Psycho Gorman train. Because I'm going to get into the universe in a moment, but the universe is a different beast. Like, I love a good movie where you can, like, disappear into the rules of the universe and accept all this stuff. This is a different kettle of fish. I'll get into why. But I also needed to find out where he had the audacity to change my life forever. Like, where did that come from?
What was that inspiration, right?
What was the inspiration that you decided to then envelop my entire bank account through Plastic Meatball and countless different releases of the physical media side of stuff? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's this. So this is Kostanski's own words. It came from a few different things. I had some ideas floating around in my head for a while. The main one being a monster sitting at a drum set, which was a thing I had in my head for years. One day, I was watching Rawhead Rex.
Hey, there you go. Goated film.
Yeah, and I was kind of bored. I had this idea ripping around in my head because I liked the initial concept of an ancient evil being being resurrected, this ancient godlike evil. In my head, I just started having this little riff, like, what if you pair that with an E.T. scenario where he meets up with some kids and they're going on, like, family-friendly adventures, but there's an evil monster killing people the whole time? And that made me laugh. And I just kept coming up with these scenarios that fed into my premise. It was so absurd. I just kept trying to top myself. Like, how much crazier can the story get while still embracing the low-budget tropes of these types of movies? Mm. I'm a big fan of stuff like Masters of the Universe, where it's like, they want to do these big movies, but they have to shoot in like a suburban street most of the time. So you have these fantastical characters in really mundane locations. And I wanted to emulate that spirit. And this is why you've got Psycho Gorman playing basketball on a driveway, eating a burger in a diner, being on a school playground and learning how to play crazy ball whilst getting shot at by police. You know what I mean? He's absolutely just summed up two decades worth of movies.
Yeah.
Why they're fantastic. Dropped all the bullshit where they fell short and it kind of breaks the illusion.
Yeah.
And anything that would break the illusion in Psycho Gorman for myself personally, like a fight scene that's going on a bit too long and there's nothing to cut to, he turns it into an audio joke.
Yeah.
Where you cut back to the kids watching this or someone out of context watching this going, what is this? What's happening right now?
I can see you've written a section. I don't know what it is. It just says blink and you'll miss it.
Yes.
But I have an observation. I hope this isn't in this later section.
Okay, if it is, we'll edit it out and then I'll act surprised later.
But there's a fantastic ability he does to pack density into those scenes.
Okay.
Where there's little jokes.
Okay.
There's little jokes. There's a monster in this that's made of graves.
There is, yeah.
How does he kill it?
By taking the flower.
What kind of flower?
The rose.
Baby!
Holy shit.
I could bet with a kiss from a rose on the grave.
Holy shit. Yes.
See? And you just go, and you just, and then it's over. You move on.
Okay.
But then the next scene's got something, and then the next shot's got something.
Exactly.
Lovely little moments like that. Yeah, no. I can see the Rawhead Rex influence, because for listeners that don't know, and I imagine it's most of you, Rawhead Rex was a British 80s low budget creature feature.
Yeah.
Sort of demon movie.
Yeah.
It aspired to be Men. It aspired to be The Wicker Man. Person comes to country place.
Yeah.
And there's all these old traditions and they don't understand what's going on. And there's a rural beast.
Yeah.
The problem was it was Britain in the 70s or the 80s. There was no fucking money. So the rural beast is essentially a guy in a gorilla suit with a Glenn Danzig mask.
Yeah.
Like that's all it is.
That's all it needs
and
to be.
The face doesn't move and it's incredibly charming.
Yeah.
It's also incredibly shit, but in a kind of, the dialogue and the human scenes are well put together.
Yeah.
The monster's ropey as fuck.
Yeah.
So I can see watching that and going, well, this is fun. and then going, the real genius is then also watching E.T. next and going, hang about.
Hold on 1 minute.
Whoa.
Well, he's Kostansky actually quoted Terminator 2 as one of the biggest influences for Psycho Gorman.
Really?
Yeah.
I can kind of see it.
Kid with the fucking unstoppable killer machine relationship, and then they kind of get on and do the family friendly thing. Yeah, that kind of
like, you have to do what I tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's genius.
It is, isn't it?
I found out recently, and this is just my autistic special interest, that the scene in Terminator with Guns N' Roses was by a gnat's dick, not Nine Inch Nails. It was going to be Nine Inch Nails with Head Like a Hole.
Yeah.
Because the guitarist in the first iteration of Nine Inch Nails, who plays on Pretty Hate Machine and all the others, was the brother of Robert Patrick, who plays the T-1000.
Wow. Jeez, that family, that's just good genetic pool.
It is good genetic pool.
Yeah.
I mean, literally a liquid pool of metal, but...
See what I did there?
I like it. and then it ended up being Guns N' Roses because the studio were like, can it be someone the audience has heard before? And they were like, fine. Mm. I guess we'll slum it with Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
Who I've never found interesting.
Release the Nine Inch Nails cut.
spoiler, it's the exact same film. It's just Nine Inch Nails on stage.
Yeah, release that. I'll tell you what we should do then. We'll edit it.
Yeah.
We'll take that scene.
Yeah.
Switch the music out.
Well, we could do the scene because they're in Twin Peaks as the house band. So we could we could just transplant that onto Terminator.
Holy shit. We could do this. We could be doing this.
Watch Instagram.
Yeah.
We won't do it, but watch anyway.
We'll
forget.
We'll release it somewhere else, but look at the Instagram. Because, you know what I mean? There's stuff on there. I'm going to skip ahead a beat because I feel like we're hitting a point where I want to touch on...
My body.
I've got a new seggy.
Right, yeah. Sorry.
Different. Yeah, your body didn't bring that up in mind. I was reading something, but I was too slow reading and then that's throwing me.
Good.
Okay. I want to touch on the new seggy.
Yeah.
Not on the new body.
It is a new body. I'm getting skinny.
You're looking fucking good, man.
Getting there.
Jim's doing good.
Jim does fix it.
Yeah. Twice. Two things can be true.
Two things can be true.
Yeah.
Monster. 80s monster.
80s monster. And he can fix it. Right. New Seggy. Blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah.
I've watched this film in the run up to doing this episode where I should have been researching.
Right.
I've just been watching Psycho Gorman like 9 times. And I'm not going to exaggerate.
Right.
About 9 times is underselling it.
Amazing what men will do instead of therapy.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I do both.
The shit.
Two things can be true. But what I'm saying is I've gone through this film and I've picked out some stuff and like homages to other movies and things that happen in this film that I fucking adore. And I'm like, oh my God, that can't be an accident.
Except for Kiss from a Rose, because obviously...
Kiss from a Rose was gorgeous. There'll be stuff in there for the next 5 years that I'm finding. I'll watch a fucking cult classic from the 90s in 5 years and be like, that's in Psycho Gorman.
You realise it's not an original frame in the movie. It will ruin the film for you.
Kind
of. It's a Lego House of Lies!
That's what it's going to be, man. It's going to be good. So you've already mentioned Alistair. Yep. Alistair is Luke's best friend, Mimi's crush.
Yes.
And he gets turned into a brain with tentacles and big googly eyes.
Sofa size,
but also self-conscious thoughts.
Mm.
Do you think I'll ever be not weird again? Mimi has the full capacity to change him back and she says, I kind of like you this way.
Yeah.
Ignores him for the rest of the film.
Your dating history.
That's it. In it. Two things can be true. So Alistair is a direct reference to The Blob. 1988.
Similar thing. We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
Because I've not seen the original. I've just seen the 80s one.
Yeah.
And I remember it being good, but then I also checked myself and was like, Rob, you were 11.
No, it is good.
Okay, good.
It is good. Okay. You remembered it right.
Good. Thank God.
And then I was confusing The Blob with The Stuff.
Right.
And then I watched The Blob.
Easily done.
Like a few weeks ago and was like, this isn't anything at all that I remember. Where's the man with his mouth full of white stuff?
That's the stuff. Okay.
It could be the fluff.
Because you can buy the white stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can buy fluff. That's just marshmallow spread.
I think maybe the stuff was the fluff. Two things can be true.
The stuff might have been the fluff. Two things could be true. They don't have to be.
Give me some references I missed.
Okay. So, Knights of Obsidian, or the Knights Obsidian, which is Psycho Gorman's sort of band of men.
Yes.
You've got Dark Scream.
They're like Kylo Ren's mates that never come back in the Star Wars sequels. the Knights of Ren.
Sure. Oh yeah, that was a
Do
thing.
Remember they got introduced?
Yeah, that was fucking stupid.
There's a big slow montage of them being introduced and they never happened that. Again.
I've started watching Andor and I'm realizing that it's the best thing to happen to Star Wars.
Yes, I've only seen season
since
one.
The originals or yeah. Rogue One, maybe.
Rogue One and season one of Andor are the best Star Wars since the originals.
Yes.
Yes.
This outshines the sequel trilogy.
Solo was also good. I'll die on that hill.
I don't think I've seen it.
Everyone wanted it to be something it was never going to be. And then they hated what they hated how disappointed they were when they didn't get the unreasonable thing they were expecting.
I remember the hype of it coming out and then it disappeared. And I was like,
yeah.
And then like 5 years later, someone was like, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's got Childish Gambino in it playing Lando Calrissian. What more would
Sold.
You want?
Sold. Stop selling. So the Knights of Obsidian, a references to like old 90s TV show, like Saito villains,
right,
like Power
okay.
Rangers villains, yeah, that kind yeah. of stuff. They're sort of the whole goofy latex thing. The ones
I get it. I got the I got
the evil bird on the dude's shoulder.
I got that it was referencing Power Rangers a lot. That was never a show I watched because it was on channels we couldn't afford.
It
so I just decided
Power
I didn't like Power Rangers.
It could, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It could be any Saito TV show, like yeah, any, yeah, yeah. any of that sort of thing. Japanese Spider-Man, the fucking yeah, villains
yeah.
from that.
Yeah.
This is what it's referencing.
We need a monster of the week. We've been on air for 4 years. We're running low. This 100%. One, this one's tables.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two references to Star Wars that I've picked up on so far.
Ooh.
You got the Council of Gygax, with the guys sitting mm-hmm. around the yeah. thing with the
on
Knight
the good
Templar.
Side, inverted commas, yeah.
On the rich side.
Yep.
On the,
I'll get back to
on
that.
On the slavers side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Where Pandora is like mm-hmm. their muscle.
Yes.
So this is the upper echelon councils in the Star Wars universe.
Okay, like with Mon Mothma. Many Mothmans
yeah, exactly.
died.
There you go.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
this stuff. But then you've also got the holographic viewing thing in the
yes.
middle of the table.
Okay, yeah.
Which is exactly everything from Andor.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything
yeah,
yeah. that I've seen recently, I'm like, okay.
Still not easier than FaceTime. Okay. Like, it's a lovely it's idea. Not. It's a lovely idea.
But it'll work in the dead of space, whereas I think FaceTime's going to be patchy. You know what I mean?
FaceTime's patchy if you're in the next fucking room.
This is what I'm saying.
Right,
okay. It has to be holograms. Right, okay. There's a reference to a short that he made, that Kostansky made.
Okay.
Called BioCop.
Okay.
Yeah, which is obviously the cop that gets fucking yeah. mutilated
and
on
turns
the,
into,
the playground. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you spot the Gundam Kaiju Pacific Rim reference?
Oh, God.
So in a flashback.
He goes massive, doesn't he? He gets
he
massive
goes,
and he starts
in the end,
stamping around.
He does massive. That's
yeah.
his big
oh,
Kaiju
okay,
thing.
Yeah.
But there is a moment where he's in a giant mechanized suit and he's stamping on an alien village. And it's for maybe, it's for like 4 or 5 seconds. But
right.
you just see him stamp on a villager's hut when he's telling Mimi about he got revenge on the Templar, the Knights of
yeah,
Templar.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
he murdered everyone on Gygax. But then my bloodthirst was insatiable. And then it shows just hundreds of different alien races yeah. that have been wiped out because of Psycho Gorman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a giant mech suit.
Amazing.
So you got like this whole Gundam thing. The buildings on Gygax, the big futuristic looking.
I was getting Krull vibes.
Krull, that's a good one. But you've got the futuristic pyramids.
Right.
That are very.
Blade Runner?
Blade Runner-y.
Yeah,
there we,
there
go.
We go.
Blade Runner, Stargate, the whole futuristic pyramid
Question
type
my
stuff.
Sci-fi.
There
yeah.
you go. No, I'm fucking, I'm happy with this, man. This is great. The kid monster relationship, Terminator 2.
Yes.
And then there's, okay.
Or Jimmy Savile.
There's
two things
now.
Can be true.
There's two now, which break me.
Right.
On a level that I don't understand why. I remember when this place used to be a shoe factory.
Yes, that comes around 3 or 4 times.
Said by Greg.
Right.
When he snapped his arm, he's yeah. delirious as fuck, and he's wandering yeah. around outside the warehouse where the big fight has just taken place. Pandora has been given a warrior's death.
Yes.
She's been eaten by Psycho Gorman. You know, I remember when this place used to be a shoe factory.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji.
Really?
Jumanji.
Is
the
it?
Original Jumanji. When
again,
when his
you,
dad had the shoe factory.
I'm going to shock you here.
Okay.
I have seen Jumanji.
Yeah.
But once, and it wasn't for me because of Robin Williams.
Oh my days. We're going to watch it again.
We've discussed this. Robin Williams comedic.
We're going to watch it again. I'm promising you, it's worth it. It's worth it.
I've tried.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
I'll just get drunk. Just get drunk and grip
okay.
my teeth.
And then this one, which is going to lead me into my next point.
Yeah.
This one comes out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentioned by no one. I've looked everywhere on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
I've read fucking WordPress blog reviews about this that have had like 3 hits. there's not enough people talking about the Jurassic Park reference.
Huh?
The Jurassic Park reference in Psycho Gorman.
I've not seen this film enough times.
For no reason at all. You know, I'll explain the scene.
Right.
And you'll remember. The scene where they're on the school playground.
Yeah.
And Mimi is explaining how to play...
Crazy Ball.
Crazy Ball.
Yeah.
There's the three of them there and the cop car pulls up.
Yes.
What's Psycho Gorman dressed as? Is it, in fact, the exact outfit from Jurassic Park that makes him Dr. Alan Grant?
It is Dr. Alan Grant.
Down to the red neckerchief aviator sunglasses.
Oh my God, I would never have spotted that.
No one ever does.
No.
It's the fuck...
I am dying. I used the word Lego earlier.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Okay.
Because Lego pieces are standardized, right? Yeah. So something that's a face in one kit is a shoe in another.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dr. Alan Grant, now you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, obviously that's the shoe from that other movie. But because it's just combined and 100%. It seems to make sense, you're like, oh no, that's fine.
It just comes out of nowhere. It's after a montage where they go shopping. So he's just picked out a uniform or like a get-up and his Crazy Ball uniform is Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park.
Amazing.
Down to the glasses, like everything is pitch perfect. It's gorgeous.
Amazing.
Gorgeous. And this is going to lead me into my next bit. What makes this a rare movie universe?
A rare movie universe?
This is a rare movie universe for me. I fucking love getting stuck into a universe.
You do. Yeah.
I love picking out the rules and the laws that they abide by. And
I think you struggled in your schooling years, as I did as well. It's one of the reasons we're friends.
Yeah.
You struggled with hypocrisy and you loved finding loopholes and ways to trip your teachers up. I'm going, actually, last week you said...
I still love finding a spelling error on a menu.
Exactly. I think in your love of in-movie universe hunting, it's just going, all right, fucker. Written rules, have we?
There's a sprinkling of that.
Let me see if I can trip you up.
There is a sprinkling of that. I'm not going to deny it, because that's very satisfying when it doesn't make sense. Hellraiser. We'll get into it when we do those.
Great films.
But it's a sprinkling that...
Objectively,
from two,
objectively, some of the best horror movies ever made.
From two, yeah, sure. Doesn't matter.
We've done it. We've done that bit. We've done the Frank soup.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's movies that I can dive into and go. They set the laws of their universe, and they live by the rules of their universe. And they respect the laws and everything is tied off in a nice, lovely, neat little bow. And it gives me a space to escape into.
Yes.
Where I know what's happening. I know the lay of the land. I know if I was to go for a mortgage in this universe, I know roughly how I would go about it and where I would need to be.
Right.
The thing that makes Psycho Gorman a rare universe is that it doesn't exist outside of our universe.
Okay. I'm going to need you to say that again, but in a way that makes any kind of sense.
Okay. So normal movie universes set up their own universe.
They do.
Psycho Gorman's universe has enveloped ours into its own. So all of the Earthbound stuff is completely as is.
Almost, yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's the. I mean, okay, let's go through it. Hold on. Let's go through it. We've got school, careers, police, laws, movies, friendships,
it's family dynamics. It's not an alternate dimension.
We've got burial rituals. We've got self-conscious thoughts. We've got sports. We've got swear words. We've got emotions, love, all this shit. We've got birthday parties, all this stuff, etiquette. Everything is like as it would be. If me and you were to be in the Psycho Gorman universe right now, which we are, but let's just say that we're being transported into there anyway, we'd be fine. We know exactly what we're going to do. What you need a bank loan, we know where to go. We know how to handle this. I need the police.
Yeah.
I know how to handle this. We know where we're going. This is it.
I get you.
Yeah.
Make your point because I have a wrinkle.
Okay, that's fine. So it's enveloped us into its universe.
It has.
Where it has created everything that it's manufactured is so far behind, like beyond our
It's cosmic. It's fantastical.
It's cosmic. It's fantastical. It's light years away. It could all be true.
It could
and we
be.
Would never know about it. And the laws of this entire thing are so airtight.
Yeah.
That I mean, they are,
speaking scientifically, in an infinite universe, which science says we must be in, this has to be true because all things are.
Exactly.
So somewhere Psycho Gorman does exist.
Yeah.
Just over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On Gygax.
Yeah.
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 But this is what I mean.
Okay.
So we're now enveloped into a Psycho Gorman universe instead of me being transported into a little movie universe.
Psycho Gorman comes to you.
My entire universe has now been engulfed in Psycho Gorman.
It's Just Eat for...
I'm not sure that I fully trust Stephen Kostansky anymore.
Well, I've got one element that might make you feel better.
Okay.
Before the introduction of Psycho Gorman,
yeah,
we are given a hint that this is not our universe.
Okay.
Because this is a universe in which a small child,
right,
can dig out a basement-sized hole,
yeah,
in an hour.
It's not an hour. That's not an hour.
In a day.
It's 9 p.m. when they finish. It's got to be about 2 when they start, because it's winter when they're filming. So it's dark at 4. They finish at 9. It's light when they're playing.
You've done landscaping.
Yeah.
Digging a hole that size.
It's impressive.
By hand.
It's impressive.
Right.
I mean, yeah, in all fairness, Greg literally does one shovel and he's like, my wrist!
Right, exactly, you know what I mean? Right? So I do think there is a beacon of hope.
I think that's a possibility, maybe, though. I reckon if me and you were to, if we were to get outside and play crazy ball at 10 a.m.
Right.
And you win and you go, you have to dig your own grave so that I can take your bed and make a super bed.
I have an idea for the least engaging, most high effort bit of Patreon content we could do.
Dig a hole.
Which is just a single static shot of how long it takes us to dig the biggest hole we can before we go, my hands are really sore. I'm going to stop this. This is shit.
I'm so invested in this. All right.
We will be. I can guarantee you the audience will not.
Okay. So you're free fully from 20th. Because I'm not joking. I'm going to go and sort out my rotor.
Yeah.
So that we get at least a day lined up.
Before I head down to see Mama.
Okay. And then I say we play a game of crazy ball. I've got the rules. Don't worry about it. Brilliant. Golden. We'll play a game of crazy ball.
Yeah.
Whoever loses digs their own grave.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, I'm in for this.
My grave's smaller to dig now. I'm into it.
Exactly.
Right.
Got 40 minutes, you're in.
I'm desperate to know what this film really means because I have a clue.
Okay.
And I want to know if I'm right.
I wrote sort of a jokey thing where I was like, what's it really mean? What's it really mean in a world where everyone is out for themselves? And the powers that be only really care about their own interests.
Yeah.
You've got slave drivers that are like working their way up the pole. They keep anyone that's going to tip the balance.
I think we might be in attunement here.
In their own little like tombs on a distant place because they're like, no. If I can't control you, you have to be out of the picture because I have my own thing.
Yeah.
And they can call it a religion, which is it's a cynical thing, but it's a real thing.
It is.
I mean, you look at our world.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And then there's the whole unchecked power, because Mimi's obviously like a childlike...
Yeah, of course.
Narcissist.
Yeah.
Sisogynist. Is it landing better?
No.
It landed a bit. Spell S-I-S, like sister. No. Because me saying sisogynist. Sisogynist.
There we go.
Is a little bit misogynist. I thought that was the funny bit.
No.
No.
That doesn't... No, it doesn't seem... That doesn't tickle your pickle. No. I'd like it to.
We'll circle back around to it. I'll get it back. I'll get it in before the end of the show.
Third time's a charm.
We'll get it back in before the end of the show. Don't you worry about it. So you got the ultimate evil.
Yeah.
Being unchecked power and not the monster. Yeah. And then I was like, don't really know if I have the warranty to sort of sum up this thing. So I've left it to Nita Hannah.
Who plays Mimi.
And in an interview, she was asked, what's one thing you hope audiences will take away from your film?
Right.
She says, one thing that I hope people will take away from the film is like throughout the film, me and Luke, we were always outside. We were always doing something in the woods. I feel like nowadays, especially with this pandemic, remember this was in 2021, that we're going through, it's always great to take a step outside, you know? Go bond with your, if you're lucky enough to have sisters or brothers, siblings, because I know when we began this lockdown or when we were in the lockdown, I got to bond a lot more with my two brothers. I've got an older brother and a younger brother, and we actually got to go and play outside like we used to. We used to play soccer and frisbee, and it was really fun. So I think now that the whole world is practically going through the same thing, we can kind of come together, you know, explore outside a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's the only thing that does you good.
It's two things there. Mm. One, it's incredibly sweet.
It is.
And also, I think because Nita is a child,
yeah,
she's also a moron who's entirely wrong. Okay. This film is about fascism and how we should embrace it.
Okay.
Because like
this might have been a misstep because bringing this to the table.
The simple fact of the matter is life is normal until unending evil arrives.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now they can control that unending evil however they like.
Okay.
They choose to befriend it.
Yeah.
They choose to befriend it.
Yeah.
Angels are killed. And the unending evil...
Which angel?
Well...
Are we on about Pandora?
We're on about Pandora. Who's
Pandora
also
the slave
shown,
driver?
Who's also shown...
She's an angel for you.
The angels that are killed are just more fascists. It's fascists everywhere. It's fascists from top to bottom.
And
do you know what the solution is? Do you
with
know what
guns.
Right.
Do you They're your angels, are they?
The solution that this film lays out
yeah.
is next time Hitler comes along.
Next time
Hitler comes. When Hitler comes back.
Sure.
Hitler
2.
Prophesized in the Bible. Right.
Prophesized in Mein Kampf.
Right, exactly. When he comes back, what you should do is become his mate. And then rather than ask him to
Jojo's Rabbit.
Right, like Jojo Rabbit. Except Jojo Rabbit, he rejects the friendship with Hitler, doesn't he? He says no. Whereas what they say is go ahead and kill everyone, but promise not to kill us because we're mates. So the whole overriding message is, fuck you, got mine.
Yeah, the overriding message is, our dysfunctional family, we found our love.
Yeah.
And Psycho Goldman got a healthy dose of unhealthy love.
Yeah, yeah.
Gorgeous way to end a film.
Emotionally manipulate those in power for the safety of people you tolerate.
That you have to spend time with.
Yeah.
Biologically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When Elon Musk finally gets the courage to grow that mustache.
Yeah.
Emotionally manipulate him.
What a greater message.
Into looking after yours.
What a greater message to leave the kids of these days.
100%. Wholesome family fun.
Exactly.
And I, for one, will be voting for it.
I love it. I love it. I'm in. I'm glad that we've arrived at this and sincerely hope that Stephen Kostanski will someday hear this and go, no.
We're out of time, so I've got a suggestion for you. Mm-hmm. I can see here that you've written a game.
I have written a game.
Why don't we play that in the post-episode Patreon chat for our Patreon listeners? Because it's only £1 a month.
I mean, we keep saying this. I think it's £1.50 now.
Okay.
But Patreon pricing's weird.
It's less than a coffee.
It is way less than a coffee, because a coffee is a fiver now.
It's about the same price as a Freddo bar.
No, it's more than a Freddo, which is good, because the second that it's less than a Freddo, we're burning the fucking place down.
We're burning Freddo.
We burn the place down.
We're hanging Freddo from a lamppost like Mussolini.
Full Psycho Gorman. Yeah. We're going to be... Did you notice on the news bit at the end of the movie as well, when he's like having the news coverage... Mm-hmm. Did you notice the bit of text at the bottom where it's just sort of like, it's like, big purple guy terrorizes town and he's shooting flames out and he's grown like 15 times in size. And then underneath it, it says, eyewitnesses report him as dickless.
Brilliant, 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 brilliant. So let's rate the movie.
Okay.
Kiss our regular listeners.
Goodbye.
On the forehead.
Yeah.
Tuck them into bed. And then let's play a game for Patreon.
Sound, I'm in for this.
Love it.
Because that way... all right, I'm less into this because I've wrote this with AI, where I gave AI questions, they gave me the wrong answers, I gave them the right answers, then they gave me the weird questions.
Perfect, because I've got lots of things I need to get off my chest about AI
Good.
That would be better amongst friends.
I know, I kind of wanted this to be a public thing, but that's fine. We'll do it. I'll write another one. I'll write another one for a shorter show. And it'll be just as good, if not better.
The only reason I say this
is
because we're at an hour now and we haven't done the breakdown yet. So we will need to record the breakdown and put it in the show, which will put us at 70 minutes. We haven't.
I wrote the breakdown.
Yeah. So we're at 70 minutes.
We smashed this. We absolutely smashed the ass out of this.
Yeah.
We do this every week.
What you
it's written in a fucking format.
So we're gonna have to time travel back to the start of the show.
Sick, we can do this.
After we do the Patreon.
I say we just circle it back around. Let's do it again. Maybe misogyny will land this time.
Maybe.
There you go. Maybe. You smiled at that one.
A little
That's
bit.
The third one.
Maybe
and it landed better.
We'll circle back around. For now, what are you gonna rate Psycho Gorman?
This is the fattest 10 that I can ever give a film ever. Right. This is the highest ranking film that we've done to date. By a fucking small margin.
Okay.
It's not a big margin, but this is for me personally.
I get that
the best film
I'm going
to
counterbalance.
So
I'm going to counterbalance you here.
Give it a one. I'm booting you in the fucking knee.
I am not particularly natively into B movies.
Okay.
I don't like child actors. I have no particular love for that Power Rangers Saito kind of style of monster movie that this satirizes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this for me is still a 10.
Amazing.
So, dear listener,
amazing.
If that isn't an endorsement, you've got the guy who knows this stuff like the back of his own fucking eyelids saying it's a 10, and you've got the guy who's just coming into it now, fresh off the boat, going, this is incredible.
Yeah. You've had to fight your way through all the people with the flags to get off the boat.
Exactly.
But now you're safe in a city where everyone accepts and loves you.
Yeah.
I hate this country.
I live in New York. I
fucking hate this country. I had to turn the news off the other day. I was like, knobheads on the beach with a flag. Who gives a shit?
I genuinely don't watch it anymore. And what's incredible, this is Patreon. We are so out of time.
Yeah,
I'm
just
going to write a note about news.
I tell you what, we'll come back to news in a sec. Let's kiss this one goodbye.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. We love and appreciate each and every one of you. If you've had fun, if you've had a good time, if you think, you know what, I kind of got some out of that, go fucking tell your mates.
Yeah,
go tell your mates.
Do it.
Get in touch with us. everymovieeveruk@gmail.com. Drop us a message. Literally fucking anything and I'll read it. I might do something with it. If I remember... If you put a reminder in there for me to do something with it, I'll do something with it.
Find us on social media, comment. We try and reply to every comment. I think we do reply to every comment. It's a great chance. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
The good ones.
Yeah.
The ones that are homophobic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's some weirdly charged ones on YouTube mainly. But anyway.
That's it. We love you all dearly. I'm now going to hand over to Ben, who, I mean, is going to thank you for spending an hour of your week with us. Start of the week. It's a Monday. You've got 5 days of work to get through, but it's going to be all right. Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this movie to a little Monday motivational pep talk that you can carry with you through those 5 days. While I just tell you to consume.
I think we've overlooked and we've neglected to mention the true hero of today's story. Greg the dad. So Greg the dad, there are countless times in this film where he could have had full-blown arguments and just dismantled his family, blown up sheer anger, but he doesn't. He saves it until he's shitting and then he mimes it all out to himself in a mirror. There's something in that. I think there's something in that.